German is my escape from America.
Yeah.
German is freedom. German is my world. It's the water I swim in. Yeah, I'm sort of like a fish in the German language.
Welcome to One Day in Vienna. Our guest today, Jeffrey Crowder.
Name, Jeffrey Crowder. Geburtsland, USA. Ankunft in Wien, 1997. Familienstand, alleinstehend. Beruf, Englischlehrer, Übersetzer, Komiker.
I'm your host, Lauren Love, and welcome to this podcast where we're going to be uncovering those memorable anecdotes about this magical city that, let's face it, we all love and hate in moments. The expats featured on this show will be enlightening us as to how they navigated becoming a local in Vienna, often with a splattering of hilarious culture clashes to boot. Hello, and today I am with the wonderful Jeff Crowder. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, nice to meet you, Lauren.
In Florianihof, which I love. It's absolutely gorgeous in here. Jeff, you are a man that does a lot in this city, so I feel like introducing you is better from your own tongue.
Yeah, I'm an English teacher, proofreader, translator, and I do a little bit of stand-up comedy on the side under the name of Cali Wiener, the Der Kalifornische Wiener, the Californian Viennese.
What brought you to Vienna in the first place? You've been here a long time.
I'm a cultural and culinary refugee.
Elaborate, please.
Yeah, well, let's see. What brought me to Austria? Originally, I got here the first time. My parents brought me on vacation when I was 2 years old to Salzburg, not Vienna. And they bought me a lederhosen.
Aww.
It was my favorite item of clothing, my Krochledner.
Can I also add the note that Jeffrey's parents are from America?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
That's why they bought him a lederhosen.
Yes. They bought me a lederhosen. They brainwashed me with the movie The Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Austrians don't even want to have that mentioned, but it is part of what planted the seed in me to come here. And then they forbid me to watch Schwarzenegger films like The Terminator and Conan the Barbarian. And when you're a young child, everything your parents forbid that's really cool is something you automatically want to do.
Right.
So that I had sort of a contrarian motive to be interested in Austria and Austrians from an early age.
So that was the catalyst. But when did you move here?
I didn't move here until the fall of 1997 in September.
And that was for work?
Yeah, I was offered a job in the Open Gas of Fear at the Austro-American Institute of Education by, at that time, he was the guide for the Austrian students to San Diego, California. I was teaching at my alma mater at San Diego State University as an English teacher in my first year after having graduated with a degree in English and American Literature. And so you teach English when you study that. And I hit it off with the Austrian students. Yeah, he offered me.
And you're here to stay?
Yeah, I was looking for a bridge to the German-speaking world and to continue studying. And the Austrians always ask me, are you here to stay? And yeah, I always say, ich bleibe bis im Zentralfriedhof.
Okay, so Jeffrey, as you know, our podcast follows one memorable day in Vienna.
Yes.
Can you start with yours?
All right. When I first got here, I arrived via train through West Bahnhof and then was picked up by Doris from the Austro-American Institute. She brought me to my host family in the Schmidtgasse 8, like right above where Centimeter is. You know the restaurant Centimeter? I lived in the apartment directly above Centimeter. And my host family was from the World War II generation. Yeah, very bourgeois, old school, lots of old furniture, old people, and old habits, old beliefs. I sort of got along with them, and I learned a lot of German from them. My host mother, Eva, she ruled the roost. Her husband was exiled to the kitchen because he smoked, and he liked to cook.
Nice combination.
Yeah, and I also liked to cook. Back then, I was not the cook I am now. Jeff the chef, yeah. And I would go into his territory, the kitchen, where he was smoking, and then I would start making like rösti or something with cheese, and he hated the smell of cheese. It really disgusted him every time I came into the kitchen. We did have a lot of good times, though. I had first contact with dialect. I asked him, hey, where can I buy Briefumschläge? And he's all, gibt's nicht. das Wort gibt's nicht. And I was like, Briefumschläge. And I was like, you know, Buchumschlag. Ein Buchumschlag umschlägt ein Buch und ein Briefumschlag umschlägt ein Brief. And he's all, nah, gibt's nicht. And I showed him in the dictionary and he was like, what? What? And then he did this face palming and he's all, couvert. Yeah, I had a lot of moments like that with him. And then the evening of that day, this whole day was rather pivotal for me. And it was, I guess you'd call it an Umbruchzeit, because I was just noticing, yeah, I'm growing out of this place. It helped me get here the first 6 months. And I really enjoyed having this contact with the locals and the older people. But I was watching, I don't know what I was watching on television anymore, but I fell asleep watching television with my host mother, and I was only watching television. I really don't like to watch television. I just wanted to have some interaction with my host mother. And then I passed out in the middle of the program, and I was leaning my head against the wall, and I woke up to her shaking me violently. She's all, you're a fettige Haaren. Werden einen Fleck auf der Tapete hinterlassen. Sie machen einen fettigen Fleck auf der Tapeten. So, this also made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Now, I had a lot of good experiences with them nonetheless, but this is sort of what brought everything to an end. And on that same day, I called back home to San Diego, California. In the telephone booth, at Volkstheater. You remember they used to have a telephone booth there? Yeah, I don't think they have one there anymore. No one uses a public telephone anymore. But there were no cell phones. And so I'm calling back home. I'm looking at Parliament. And I'm like, I know I've got to leave my host family. And I know I got to move somewhere else. And my mother's like, Jeffrey, come home. And I was all, sorry, Mom, I'm staying. I already knew that I was here to stay in Vienna. And that's where ich habe mich abgenabelt. Yeah, so they say Vienna is der Bauchnabel der Welt.
Der Ausdruck Nabel der Welt wird verwendet, um einen Ort zu beschreiben, der als sehr wichtig oder zentral angesehen wird. Die Idee hinter diesem Ausdruck kommt aus der alten Zeit. In vielen Kulturen, wie den Griechen und Römern, dachten die Menschen, dass bestimmte heilige Orte das Zentrum der Welt seien. Zum Beispiel wurde der Stein Omphalos in Delphi, Griechenland, als der Nabel der Welt betrachtet.
This is where I cut the umbilical cord.
Yeah, I can fully understand that actually. But it means that you automatically felt like this was somewhere that you wanted to be, regardless of the comfort or the security that you would have with like having your own apartment or something
exactly.
Like this. You still felt like, no, I want to be here, even though
yes.
It hasn't been the best situation for me.
No, I was totally convinced culturally and from my work, this was the direction I wanted to take. Learning German was the most important goal of my entire life.
So what is your relationship like with German, actually?
So my relationship with the German language, German is my escape from America.
Yeah.
German is freedom. German is my world. It's the water I swim in.
Oh,
yeah.
Free.
Yeah, I'm sort of like a fish in the German language. And Wittgenstein said, die Grenzen unserer Sprache sind die Grenzen unserer Welt. And I've expanded my world in a way that I would have never been able to expand my world in Southern California. As much as I love my hometown and the people there and the whole atmosphere, it was really living in a bubble where this type of growth was not possible. And I have marketable skills here that I can't market there. Being a German teacher in America at some high school is not what I imagined for myself.
That resonates with me hugely, Jeffrey, mm-hmm. I have to say. And sometimes it's the kind of hard situations and not being in that bubble that actually allow the most growth, I have to say. So we're hearing that quite a lot from expats, mm-hmm. that they never felt like they were away from home per se, but they just felt that they could expand who they were mm-hmm. kind of originally mm-hmm. supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
kind of cool about Vienna, I have to say.
Yeah. They leave you in peace in Vienna. Die lassen die in Ruhe.
Yeah, you have a bit of space, a bit of time
yeah.
to kind of figure out who you are
mm-hmm.
without too many things flying at you.
I know a lot of locals who find Vienna limiting, but it's the expats, the foreigners who feel like they can expand here. I know a lot of people locals often say, you know, I don't want to live in the 18th century. I want to live in a modern city or whatnot. I don't want a modern city. I want this architecture. I want this vibe.
What are some of your favorite places in the city?
Palmen House in Burggarten.
Ooh.
I really love that combination of stone, steel, and glass.
And jungle.
And then it's Art Nouveau Jugendstil, of course, an even higher level here than Café Florianihof, but it's very much in the same spirit. And I just love that whole protected Shangri-La atmosphere of the Burggarten in the middle of the city, where you can get so much peace, even though there's so many people there and the old people complain you shouldn't sit on the grass.
But we all do.
And then you're at the back side of the Hofburg, and it still has all this just prunk and pracht and glanz, and just from every angle, there's all these fantastic sort of like trophy bundles and double-headed eagles, and yeah.
So, Jeffrey, we are in the beautiful Florianihof, but what are some of your other favorite places in Vienna?
Well, I spend a lot of time in the summer in Kongressbad.
Oh, yes.
It's this old socialist wooden construction, and it just embodies socialist Vienna with its red, white, red. It used to be a 100-meter pool, and they've reduced it to 250-meter pools, and my water polo team is Wiener Sport Club, and I am the secretary of Wiener Sport Club. I took it over. I'm also a goalie for Wiener Sport Club and an organizer with Harald Hayek, who's the official manager, and we manage the team together.
But we were talking to quite a lot of people about the Vienna baths, and what's so amazing about pretty much all of them is they are so beautiful.
Yes.
This beauty you do not see in other places, even in England, you do not find beautiful swimming pools. Mm-hmm. And here it's for everyone. Mm-hmm. They are so stunning. They are so, like, so much effort and care was put into these socialist buildings. And they're really timeless, all of them, whether they're brutal or Jugendstil or they're just gorgeous.
Have you been to the Badener Strandbad?
I have.
Yeah, I also train there.
I've been to nearly every bad in Vienna and a bit outside. You obviously have a fantastic grasp of dialect, Austrian German. Please, Jeffrey, hit us with some of your favorite Austro-German words.
Well, I was just mentioning that I play water polo, so Goistangenbrunzer. Do you understand what that means?
No.
Yeah, that's a goalpost pisser. This is how you make fun of a soccer goalie or a water polo goalie. Obviously, a soccer goalie does it in the air if you pee on the goalpost as a Goistangenbrunzer.
Mm.
Obviously, then dann kommt eine warme Schicht. So.
And do you have any other PC words, perhaps?
Do I have anything appropriate? I love the word schmäh.
Yes.
And I'm here for the Wiener schmäh. I'm a Schmähtandler.
Oh, what does Schmähtandler mean?
Yeah, Schmäh is maybe not the same as having a sense of humor or wit. Schmäh goes beyond that. Have you read the Tante Jolesch?
No.
Do you know Herr Karl?
No.
Do you know Helmut Gwaltinger?
No.
All right. So Tante Jolesch.
You can cut this bit out.
No, it's okay to not know.
Tante Jolesch oder der Untergang des Abendlandes in Anekdoten ist ein Klassiker der österreichischen Literatur, geschrieben von Friedrich Thorberg. Das Buch sammelt humorvolle Geschichten und Anekdoten aus dem Wiener Leben vor und nach dem Ersten Weltkrieg. Tante Jolesch selbst ist eine der vielen charismatischen Figuren, deren Weisheiten und Eigenheiten ein lebendiges Bild der Wiener Gesellschaft zeichnen. Das Buch ist nicht nur unterhaltsam, sondern bietet auch tiefe Einblicke in die Kultur und das soziale Miteinander Wiens in einer vergangenen Zeit.
She said, everything that's more attractive about a man than an ape is luxury. Alles, was ein Mann schöner ist wie ein Aff, ist Luxus. And she also has the ultimate cooking secret to help everyone become a better cook, and that is immer ein bisschen zu wenig. This was her cooking tip for making Krautfleckel. Make them hungry. Don't give them enough. So that's what we can learn from the Tante Jolesch. This is the schmäh. That's what a schmäh is. It's a whole way of being that's comedy.
And Tandler?
Schmähtandler. Well, a Tandler is somebody who sells something, right? So you're
often
selling.
Often like on the street as
Yeah.
Dodgy dealer.
Yeah, a geschickter Drucker. Yeah. And so Herr Korl also, this is a book character. It's a movie with Helmut Gwaltinger that is absolutely priceless that every expat, if you want to really start to understand the Austrian soul, have you read the book Die Wiener Seele?
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, Herr Karl will help you out too. And that's how I learned dialect,
so with
is by listening to Herr Karl over and over again until I knew it almost by heart and listening to his music.
Would this be your biggest advice to any expat moving to Vienna, that they should
listen to Herr Karl and read Die Tante Jolesch and listen to Der Geschöpfte Viertel?
And have you had any culture clashes in the 20 years that you've been here?
Quite a few, mostly not with the Viennese. When I have a Liga dry rod, so I have a recumbent trike, and usually people make comments that it's too low, and I took this recumbent trike on a bike ride in Tyrol from Tyrol to South Tyrol, and I arrived via train back in the days where you could put a bike like that on a train because they had a special cabin for it. And when I arrived, I can't remember the name of the train station, but I was arriving in Tyrol and I was traveling with my Austro-Hungarian photographer buddy named Janos Kalmar. He's pretty well known here. We used to do bike rides along all the rivers in Austria. And because he was in his late 70s, he insisted that we take the bus over the Reschen Pass. This bus had a gigantic trailer, like 20 feet long, with no bikes on it. But this Tyrolean refused to allow me to put my recumbent trike, my Liga dry rod, on his trailer, because it had three wheels and not two. This Sturschädel, just, we're having this argument, and I thought, okay, you know what? I'll fold it and put it into the hold. And I'm in the middle of doing that, and he's like yelling at me, cursing at me. No, I'm not waiting for this. And I fold my bike, and it just by millimeters doesn't fit in. And I say, hey, I'll just give me like 30 more seconds and I will remove the wheel and then it'll fit. He's all no, and drives off with my buddy. So I had to like pull my bike out and ride over the Reschen Pass in the rain. Now, I have no problem doing this, but the weather was really bad. And when you ride a trike in the rain and it's muddy, the front wheels don't grip anymore. So then I started pushing it uphill in the rain, in the mud. Eventually I gave up and then went onto the highway and rode up to the top and caught up with Janos, and we cycled into South Tyrol to Meran. Nothing against the Tyroleans, but I've had the Viennese tend to be more easygoing. As much as people say they're grumpy, they look at a bike like them, they say, yeah, it's eigentlich nicht gestartet. You know, this is not really.
There's some flexibility.
Yeah, they geht schon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Tyroleans, no. No! Go to hell. You know,
it is a tricycle. It is not a bicycle.
It is a tricycle.
Next!
Yeah, I had all these idealistic visions about modern transportation and how bicycles and trains and everything are supposed to work, you know, seamlessly and everything. And then you hit this hard Tyrolean stubborn reality.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us today at the beautiful Florianihof, and thank you for your wonderful, wonderful stories.
It was a pleasure for me too. Zollst du die Zeche?
Oh ja, sicher.
Ja, oder muss ich Zeche brauchen?
Nein.
Okay.
Wir machen alles.
Samas?
Ja.
Gamer.
Tschüss, auf Wiederhören.
Vierte.
You love Vienna too and want to learn German? Innes Vienna will get you there. Vienna's best language school offers a variety of courses and trainings at different levels, at different times, and at different intensities. All information about Innes Vienna and today's guests can be found in the show notes. And there we also explain all other German words, terms, and Viennese areas from this episode. Thanks for listening. Auf Wiederhören!